There was somewhat of a meltdown on the basketball court when it came to Michigan State's men's basketball team playing Northwestern. On the other end of our line is Matt Charbonneau. He covers the Spartans for the Detroit News. Matt, how are you?
Good, Tony. How you doing?
I was about ready to throw a shoe through the TV watching Northwestern run that Princeton offense, especially I thought the man-to-man wasn't working, especially with our post players having troubles with those backdoor cuts. Why didn't they go to a man or a zone defense?
Well, that's a kind of a question I've heard a lot the last couple of days. It's really just not something they work on a lot. Honestly, Tom Izzo is a man-to-man guy. He begrudgingly has worked on it a little bit here and there in practice over the last couple of years, but I can't recall the last time I saw them working on it in practice this year. So, I don't think it's necessarily something they're really comfortable with. Obviously the man-to-man wasn't working, but, I think at that point in the game, it's hard to switch to something you really haven't worked on very much. So, yeah, it's pretty frustrating watching that Northwestern team. And, I know the Michigan fans are thinking the same thing from a couple nights before. So, it's not a great loss, but, let's be honest, 15 in a row. I guess one loss, you weren't going to go undefeated anyway. So.
Yeah, well, it just reminded me of a challenge that Michigan State has had over the last few years with perimeter defense, and I just wondered with the master of the matchup zone being someone like Judd Heathcote, who Coach Izzo has a phenomenal relationship with, I'm just surprised he hasn't touched on that a little bit more just for instances like we saw against Northwestern.
Well, and you're right, too, about that perimeter defense, because actually after the game, one of the things, the Northwestern coach, Bill Carmody, said was they noticed that Michigan State really pressured the ball very hard. And if you, if you really watch that game, they do. I mean, they're very aggressive on the ball, perimeter defense. And I think the concern was Northwestern is such a good shooting team, you couldn't leave them open. The problem is that leaves you a heck of a lot more susceptible to that backdoor cut. So, and then later in the game where they didn't pressure it as much, then they started getting nailed with the three-pointers. So, I really think it's a case of Northwestern was playing really well that game. They shot the ball really well, after the first few minutes. So, we can analyze it all we want, but, I just think it was kind of one of those days where everything Northwestern was doing was going right, and that's just kind of how it was going to go.
All right, bottom line. Now, we got out the little negativity there, but bottom line, this is a pretty good basketball team, sixth ranked in the country, won 15 games in a row, still playing great basketball, and we'll find out just how good they are on Tuesday night, won't we?
Yeah, I think you will, and I kind of brought this up. I don't know, not everyone agrees with it, but, losing at that point I don't think is necessarily the worst thing. With a pretty inexperienced young team, I think Tom Izzo knew they might struggle a little bit with that offense. And I think deep down, even though he'll probably won't admit it, maybe getting those guys a loss at this point just to kind of remind them that you don't just show up and get a win every night probably might not be the worst thing, especially heading into a game at Michigan.
Well, and speaking of the Michigan game in Ann Arbor tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, I know Michigan has been playing well. They're coming off a nasty loss. To analyze it, what do you see happening? Because Michigan's been playing well, especially at the point guard position.
Yeah, they really have. And, it's a tough loss at Iowa, and I think people see that Michigan State beat Iowa so badly, but I really think Iowa's a better team this year overall. They just had a bad night in East Lansing, and so I don't think I'm necessarily surprised by their loss at Iowa. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Michigan State matches up a little bit better, but the fact that you're playing it in Ann Arbor, I think, makes it pretty even. You're right about the point guard position. Trey Burke has been really outstanding for Michigan. I mean, consistently from the get-go this season. That's pretty impressive for a freshman. And, Tim Hardaway obviously is a good player. He traditionally starts a little slow in the game, so I don't know. I tell you what, I think this is going to be a pretty good, a pretty close matchup. But like Tom has said many times, he likes to see it. He'd love for Michigan State to be like Carolina and Duke. And I think
this is kind of exciting because now finally we're seeing these teams play when it's about more than just bragging rights. This thing's really going to matter in the Big Ten race, and I think that just kind of ups the ante even more.
We've got two more questions for Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News. He covers Michigan State men's basketball and football. All right, basketball-wise, do you think Coach Izzo will be a little bit more fired up for this game as last year the Blue handed it to the Spartans?
Yeah, they did, and I think everyone will remember going off that court in Ann Arbor with, two guys that aren't there anymore, but Darius Morris and Kalen Lucas kind of getting into it. But I tell you what, when it comes to Michigan State could have won 500 games in a row, and Tom Izzo is going to be more fired up than he will for any other game. So I don't think there's any doubt about that. And considering now, like I said, that this not really matters. I mean, these are two teams that right in the mix. They're fighting for the Big Ten championship. So there will be no lack of emotion and kind of motivation for this team at this point.
Now, as we let you go, Matt, tell me, you've had some time to reflect on Michigan State's football season. Any last thoughts, and what's it going to be like next year? It looks like they need receivers, and they need a new quarterback to step up, but how's this team going to fare?
Well, I tell you, they're getting there's been a lot of early projections already. I've seen them ranked preseason as high as number 6, which is really kind of surprising considering the fact that they will be playing a new quarterback, which, everything points towards Andrew Maxwell at this point. Receiver is going to be kind of a question mark. I think they've got talented guys. We'll see if Arnett's going to be eligible to play. The NCAA will rule on that. You got a lot of unproven guys there, whether they be true freshmen, redshirt freshmen, whether Benny Fowler is going to be healthy or not. Those are a lot of question marks, but I think what people are seeing is they're seeing a defense that is one of the top defenses in the nation next year is really coming back. You lose Worthy and Trenton Robinson, but other than that, you're getting everybody back. And I think people are looking at that as a defense that can be one of the elite defenses in this country. And I think that's probably going to maybe carry them a little bit as that offense kind of adjusts. But also, when you consider that offensive line is bringing almost everybody back, you have Le'Veon Bell back. I think there's enough there that will kind of get those kind of question marks through, whether it be Maxwell, the receivers. It'll get them through long enough for those guys to become comfortable. And, I would expect another solid season from them.
All right. Can't wait for tomorrow night. Matt, should be fun.
You got it, Tony.